The Sermons of the Reverend Robert Murray Machini. Sermon number 85, The Fight of Faith, being read by Peter John Parisis. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. How blessed it is to stand by the deathbed of God's children. How different from that of the wicked. The wicked sometimes die in anguish. Some have been known to cry out, "Lost, lost, lost, O eternity, O for half an hour to pray." Some die in blasphemy, cursing God for their pains and their sores. The great number die like a beast without any thought or care except for the body. They have no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are laid in their graves like sheep, and the upright have dominion over them in the morning. How sweet compared with these is the departure of God's children. They fell asleep in Jesus. I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul here compares it to, number one, to the pouring out of a drink offering. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Philippians 2:17. He felt so entirely dedicated and given away to God that his death was like the pouring out of the wine offering which already belonged to God. Number two, to the departure of a ship. The hour of my departure is at hand. The things of time were like the cables that bound him to this world, but soon his bark was to be loosened from the shore to sail forward to the shore of glory, to be moored forevermore. In these words we have the secret of a joyful deathbed. Number one, he looks back upon the life of pain. Number two, he looks forward to the crown of glory. Number one, he looks back, threefold view. He does not look back to his life before conversion at all. He often did so, but it was to condemn it. I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. For I am the least of the apostles, but am not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Galatians 1, I am the chief. Paul never forgot his old life, but not one ray of comfort came from it, but only condemnation. It was his life since conversion that he now looked to, not as his righteousness before God, but only as showing that he was really a sinner saved through Christ. Number one, I have fought a good fight. Every day since his conversion, he had been fighting. He had been pressing through an enemy's country and had to win his way. Number one, with his corruptions, warring, Romans 8, flesh lusting, Galatians 5, a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10. Paul knew what these inward fightings are. He probably experienced them more than anyone here. Number two, with the world. As long as he was Saul the blasphemer, the world caressed him. But when he was made Paul the apostle, the world hated him. The more he loved, the more they hated. I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. His only weapons were the word of God, and yet he fought on against a world lying in wickedness. Number three, with the devil, a messenger of Satan. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, 2 Corinthians 10. He had experienced much of this. We are not ignorant of his devices. Still, it was a good fight, 1 Timothy 1:18. War, a good warfare, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Often when we are in the midst of afflictions and temptations, we grow weary of the conflict. It is a hard lot. But when we look back from eternity, every redeemed soul will be able to say, it was a good fight. Number one, because we are sure to overcome. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In other battles, we know not how it will go until the battle is done. But in this, we have a sure promise of victory. We have the sweet glimpses of triumph. Even in the thickest of battles, sweet confidence in Jesus. Number two, It keeps us close to our captain. If we had no fight, we would not keep near to Jesus. But when we suffer such fearful attacks, we are glad to hide ourselves under Jesus' wings. Number 3, because glorifying to God. His glory is involved in it. Often we would wish no fight, but not so in glory. There we shall see that every trial was glorifying to God, bringing out some new feature of His grace, power, and love. Are you fighting this good fight? Soon we shall look back. Number 2, I have finished my course. The moment a soul is brought to Christ, he has a course to run. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Acts 13:25. Paul says, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Every one had a different course like the planets. All do not shine in the same part of the sky, and so every believer has his course, a work to do. One has the course of a minister, another the course of a master servant. The misery of inconsistencies leaving the course. Each of us has a work to do for Christ. Let us do it diligently. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Number 3, I have kept the faith. I think the dying thief could say, I believe, and enter with joy into the paradise. But he would not say, I have kept the faith. This makes the difference between a peaceful and triumphant deathbed. Paul brought the truth and sold it not. That good thing committed to him he kept, by the Holy Ghost given unto him. He held the beginning of his confidence steadfast unto the end. Learn that perseverance in the faith is needed to a triumphant deathbed. It is Christ and Christ alone that is our peace in dying. Yet the hand that has longest held him has the firmest hold. It is not our perseverance that is our righteousness before God, but the doing and dying of our Lord Jesus. And yet without perseverance in the faith, ye cannot be saved. Alas, you that turn aside to folly, you are preparing clouds for your dying bed. Can you say you have kept the faith, poor backslider? Section 2. What he looked forward to. Number 1. That day, I know whom I have believed in and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. 2 Timothy 1:18. A great day of Christ appearing and all his saints with him. It was not merely the day of death to which he looked forward. Then he would immediately pass into glory. He would go to be in paradise. He would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He would be blessed dying in the Lord, but he looked forward to that day because it is the day of Christ's full glory, the day of gladness in his heart. There is something selfish in merely desiring the day of death, but there is a heavenly joy in looking for the day of his appearing. Number 2, the crown of righteousness. A crown of glory, a crown of life, an incorruptible crown that will never die, nor shall the wearer die any more. A crown of righteousness, a crown waiting for those that have put on the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness, a crown laid up. It is ready from all eternity. It is ready now when we are fighting. Your crown is laid up. Number 3, the Lord shall give it me. How sweet it will be when Christ puts on the crown on a sinner's brow, the just God and Savior. Angels will shout for joy when they see the righteous Jesus crowning the sinners for whom he died. He will finish our redemption. He was crowned with thorns. He has been our advocate, crowned with glory and majesty. But another step he is to put on the crown of righteousness. All heaven and earth and hell own him faithfully and true, and righteous in all his ways. Oh, how sweet to be crowned by Jesus. Number 4. Along with all that love, his appearing. One thing would make us sad. Am I only to be crowned? No, no. not to me only. Paul could not be happy in heaven without seeing others saved along with him. It gave him joy on his deathbed to think that myriads and myriads besides him would wear the crown, many whom he had been the means of saving. Dundee, 1842. End of chapter 85.